Maar wat is Moedisch man? Not man, Moedisch man. We're Moedisch mammon.
Yep.
We're Moedisch men. But this is about magazine on RTR. Good morning, Yokai. This is Moedisch Mag on RTR FM. Jim, without Nicky, solo today. Jimbo all in his own, which is quite unusual for Moedisch Mag because we usually have Nick and or Jody Hoffman neither around today, and Nick's doing some studies today, which we'll talk more about a little later. But I've got a special guest on the show today. Her name is Jackie Craig, and I'll talk some more about her, introduce you to our listeners here on RTR FM 92.1 and Noongar Radio. So good to be back. I was missing last week, missing in action down in Albany for some sorry business and meetings. Seems to be a weekly regular event for some of us Aboriginal people, sadly. And talking about sad, today is the state funeral for Rosalie Kunath Monks. Now, we've heard Rosalie speak before, and sadly, we're going to hear her speak again. So you are warned that we are about to hear the voice of a person who has passed on, deceased. And a state funeral is being conducted as we speak in Alice Springs today. Now, just a reminder, Rosalie spoke on Q&A a couple of years ago now, but what she said was so powerful. We are not the problem. Here's Rosalie speaking to us.
You know, I have a culture. I am a cultured person. I am not something that fell out of the sky for the pressure of somebody putting another culture into this cultured being. John shows what is an ongoing denial of me. I am not an Aboriginal or indeed Indigenous. I am Arindra, a Yawara First Nations person, a sovereign person from this country. I didn't come from overseas. I came from here. My language, in spite of whiteness trying to penetrate into my brain by assimilationists, I am alive. I am here and now. And I speak my language. I practice my cultural essence of me. Don't try and suppress me, and don't call me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it. Nobody has entered into a treaty or talk to me about who I am. I am Arindra, a Yawara female elder from this country. Please remember that. I am not the problem.
Wow, what a start to the show. Moedisch Mag on RTR FM 92.1. We've done that deliberately too, though, because Rosalie Kunath Monks, and a lot of our people don't mention names, but we will do that out of respect for the family. And Yes, it's a sad day. A state funeral being held as we speak at the Desert People's Centre, Desert Knowledge Precinct, South Stewart Highway, up in Alice Springs. So, yeah, we pay respects to those people that are grieving. And funnily enough, well, not funny, it's because it's not a joke, Jackie Craigie, who's my guest on the show today. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Yeah, love, it's good to have you on the show. You didn't need much cajoling or harassment, because you're now CEO of the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation starting this week on the 1st of March. So firstly, tell our listeners who you are, where's your mob and where you're from.
I'm originally born and bred in Mount Isa in North Queensland, and my family still reside there today, and have family connections all around northwest Queensland, and also into Central Australia as part of the Eastern Urunda connections through my grandmother. And then I've been over in Perth here for about 18 years, or living in WA, I should say, and ended up on this side of the country as my husband's from this part of the world, and then lived and worked in the gold fields for about 4.5 years, and went up to Broome for a nice 4, and then been back in Perth since late 2013, and just been living and working for both government, and now was fortunate enough to get the role here at Yakai, and it's a great opportunity, to work with people and to work at a local level, and so I'm pretty excited about some of the things that they've done and what they'll continue to do.
Good on you. Pleased to welcome to the show, Jackie. But just go back to Rosalie Kenneth Monks, the highly esteemed Dr. Kenneth Monks, deeply missed by many, passed away back on the 26th of January, which was Australia Day, Invasion Day for a lot of people. She leaves behind a legacy of advocating and campaigning tirelessly throughout her life for the welfare, recognition and advancement of First Nation people. Now, in 1951, Kenneth was 14 and staying at St Mary's Hostel in Alice Springs when the filmmakers Charles and Elsa Chevelle recruited her to play the title role in their 1955 film Jeddah. Her nickname was Rosie, but the Chevelles changed her name for the screen to Ngala Kenneth. Excuse me. So Kenneth was the first Indigenous Australian female lead, and I understand it was the first movie ever made in colour. So the groundbreaking film was played for the audience at the Cannes Film Festival 60 years later in 2015. This experience inspired the play and the TV play Bursts of Summer. So some amazing words on Q&A that this wonderful person has presented, and I guess that's going to be echoed now in lots of ways across the nation, because I've seen some T-shirts recently in some of the Black Lives Matters and other rallies and public events where someone's got "I'm not the problem" on their shirt. So, Jackie, welcome again. And you've had an experience. You knew this lady. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, look, I didn't know her well, but I lived and worked in the Northern Territory at a bachelor, about 90 k's south of Darwin, Bachelor Institute that's still running, where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students from all over Australia would go there to get education and higher education, and this wonderful lady was quite instrumental in Bachelor Institute. That's what it was known as then. I think it still has the same name. And a good friend of mine, when the day that we graduated at Bachelor, we was fortunate enough to get a photo with her as, one of our esteemed leaders and someone who paved the way for Aboriginal people throughout the Northern Territory and quite well known across the work that she did. And I think a lot of work was probably unseen and unheard, but these are the wonderful things that people like herself and actually paved a way for younger ones to go through. And that's what, when I think about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people leading the way, and, you know, and always making positive steps, not without a fight, so that the younger generation can come through and access education, because education is empowerment. And I think that's one of the things that really stood out from what I knew, what she did.
There you go. Jackie Craig is my guest today on Woody Schmag, RTR-FM, and I'm not sure how many times she'll appear on this show, but she's now a friend of Woody Schmag, RTR-FM, and who knows, we might get her on the show some more. So we're just acknowledging today the state funeral for Rosalie Keneath Monks, 4th of January 1937 to the 26th of January this year, which makes her, what, 63? 88. So I guess for us it's a sad day. A sad day for all those family and relations of hers, excuse me, in and around the Northern Territory. And we've got Gail Beck on the line. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Gail, welcome to Woody Schmag, RTR-FM. You've been on the show before in a different capacity. And I'm introducing you to Jackie Craigie, who's my co-host today. Nick Abraham is doing some study. Say hello to Jackie.
G'day, Jackie. How are you going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Yeah, you're probably one of the first people publicly to know that Jackie Craigie is now the new CEO as of the 1st of March from the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation.
Wow.
So she's hit the ground running this week and going crazy with all the reading she has to do to get familiar with the job. And so it's kind of a bit of a handover from me to her as previous managing director of Yokai Healing Our Spirit. Gail, thanks for taking the time to talk to us about your new role at Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just start off by asking where you're from, who your family is?
Okay. I'm a rider. My family are the riders and all those that are connected to the riders. I follow my maternal connection, and Bundaran was removed from Nowangarup, born in Thomas River, removed from Nowangarup and put into New Norcia, and there she had her children. Well, she had other children, but, you know, the rider children. And, I'm a direct descendant from her. And John Ryder.
Welcome to the show again. Look, we'll talk to you about Red Cross. We won't talk to you about your previous roles, because we'll be talking for a couple of hours about that, because you've had some really some meaningful roles on Noongar country and in the Aboriginal affairs area. But tell us about what you're doing at Red Cross. You've been there a little while and looking forward to the challenges. What's happening at Red Cross?
Okay. I've only just come out of probation and I'm getting around all the paperwork and trainings that I need to do with Red Cross. And people might know, but they're a movement of people who help Australians act with humanity. And of course, lots of people know that they're around with disaster times and everything else. But there's a whole heap of silent achievers, you know, our volunteers, doing other wonderful, wonderful things. But I was employed as the West Australian State lead for our mob in the community development space, which is a new role. And so I'm finding my feet as I go, but the outcomes are to be place-based, community-led and owned services going forward. And I'm really pushing that whatever Red Cross does, it becomes sustainable.
Wow. There's
also areas where some of our remote communities need some real assistance because they're third world conditions. I have mentioned it to my seniors in Red Cross that, you know, can we, you know, do what we've done overseas in these communities, like helping get water, helping keep those communities a safe place.
Good on you. Well, congratulations on your new role. Tell me, third world nation, does that apply to Australians? Tell me more about what that means.
Well, for me, is not having good housing, not having food security, not having clean water, I know a lot of our communities, not all, but there are many out there that don't have the basics. So, like when people go into other countries that are known to be poor countries, that's what they're dealing with, but it's here. It's in our backyard. It's in our state.
Well, I'm reminded, Gail, of some of the research that Jerry Georgiadis and others talked about, including the people at Telethon that talk about the Human Development Index and how it measures certain things within our communities right across the world. There are things like life expectancy, social emotional well-being, income numeracy, and it talks about Australia, even though Australia's in the top 10 of that Human Development Index and perhaps number 2 with Norway. I don't know whether it's changed much in the last few years, but when you're looking at some of the colonised or invaded countries like the UK, New Zealand, Canada, USA and Australia, you look at those sort of places, they're all in the top 10. But what Telethon has done is been able to do an assessment of all the First Nation peoples from those countries. And whilst all other countries where First Nation peoples are feature quite well, not so much in the top 10, but certainly in the top 30, Aboriginal Australia is 104th. Are you aware of that data?
Not that data specifically, but I have mapped the state myself. I'm not an academic at mapping. And, I'm well aware of the challenges out there, and I just really hope that we can make a difference. I am pushing hard for that. There's not too many of us employed at Red Cross. I think in this state there's 5 of us, but doing different roles. And so I'm hoping I'll be able to mentor people in their communities to, you know, create the magic that they need to happen, you know. Pretty sad stuff that I'm seeing to date, and the mapping is mind-boggling. You know, everyone thinks the Pilbara is a rich nation because of all the mines, but there's so many gaps in the Pilbara. I know my own mob, you know, the Noongar mob, you know, have gaps, but nothing like what I'm seeing in the Pilbara. There's very little services up there.
Well, I mean, I just heard you say mapping and gapping, which seems to be a lot of the work we're still doing. In this day and age, we're still mapping and gapping as to what the discrepancies are. Jackie, did you want to ask Gail anything? We're talking to Gail Beck, a new employee at the Red Cross Association, whatever that's called. We might get you to come back and tell us exactly what your title is and what Red Cross represents. Jackie?
Gail, I think, I think it's great that you've got the role there and really passionate about it and driving change from the ground up. I think that speaks loud and clear and, and probably not more of a question, but, more to say congratulations and the wealth of knowledge and experience and the passion that you'll bring to that role. And, the journey's long, but I think you'll do an amazing job in there and make a difference for people and what you're exposing to and what you're seeing. And I think that's one of the things is that I've seen throughout my time for each and every one of us, we actually don't know what it really looks like till we actually see it. And it's great that we've got a voice there that will be able to highlight those issues more and more. And Red Cross being such a an organisation that gets down there and works on the bottom. So well done.
Oh, thank you.
Munish Maggi on RTR-FM. And my guest here, Jackie Craigie, who started her first day, or the 1st of March, being the Chief Executive Officer of the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. Jackie, there's a couple of things about Stolen Generations that we need to talk about, eh? The Kinchula Boys Home is being recognised. Also this week, we are hearing that compensation for Victorian Aboriginal people to receive $100,000 as part of a reparation package. But what's this about Kinchula Boys Home, Jackie?
The Kinchula Boys Home site in Kempsey yesterday announced the 2022 World Monuments Watch as one of the 25 heritage sites of worldwide significance whose preservation is urgent and vital to the communities surrounding them. Among Australia's most notorious Stolen Generations institution, the Kinchula Boys Home saw an estimated 400 to 600 Aboriginal children exposed to routine acts of cultural genocide between 1924 to 1970. And those survivors of Kinchula Boys Home are among thousands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children forcibly taken from their families and communities as part of the official government and church programs to assimilate First Nations children into non-Indigenous society. Yesterday's announcement by the World Monuments Fund acknowledges the pain and suffering of the Kinchula Boys Home survivors and their families, while highlighting the need for greater action to support heritage places and the people who care for them.
Right, now we're going to have a Kinchula Boys survivor on the program a little later, telling us, Michael Walsh, who will join us on the program. I'm going to have to ring him to remind him. So he's getting on in age, but he'll talk about the hardships that of experience with KBH, the Kinchula Boys Home. And, you know, when you talk about five or up to 600 people, boys that were in that institution, we won't take anything away from Kinchula Boys Home, but more of a native settlement, which was set up in the 50s up near Magumba, which later became a Magumba mission, had 1,740 children there before 1950. So it gives you an example of some of the removal issues that we face in this country. So KBH, the Kinchula Boys Home, what a national significance. This is survivor-led healing to preserve, restore and reimagine the former Kinchula Boys Home as a national site of truth-telling and healing. So Jackie said, announced at the 2022 World Monuments Watch. That makes it really significant, doesn't it? So hopefully Michael doesn't get too upset. I know Michael, he acknowledges that he needs to talk about it, Jackie. He acknowledges that it's good for him to tell people, because majority of the population don't understand that removal. And we say, we talk about it often on this show as the impact, because both Nick, who's a co-host and doing some study today, we talk about what happened to our parents, because we were descendants of people that were victims of removal. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say, what this means for KBH, the Kinchula Boys Home, and those men that have gone through that particular stage between 1924 and 1970, and what they're doing now, because there's a number of survivors that are still with us, and the experiences they've had haven't been good. So we'll talk to Michael Walsh a little later, nicknamed Witty, and let him tell us about KBH. So great achievement for Kinchula Boys Home, great achievement for Stolen Generation Peoples in New South Wales, you know, the biggest state in the country, although probably close to your home state. I think Queensland has the biggest population of Aboriginal people, don't they? Looking shaggy. I think they're neck and neck. I think they're both there with the highest population of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander First Nation people in the country. And, the similarities between both. Not to mention the flooding that's taken place this week in southeast Queensland and now being felt in north of New South Wales. Let's go to a song and we'll talk some more about Stolen Generation reparation, because the news in Victoria is good. And why am I saying this? Because the reparation has not been recognised in both Queensland and Western Australia. So we'll talk some more about that before we get to speak to Michael Walsh from Kinchula Boys Home. Hey, I'm introducing you now to Michael Walsh, nicknamed Witty, survivor of KBH, the Kinchula Boys Home, who's we're contacting on the other side of the country. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jim. Yeah, I had a go at those rainbows. You know you can't catch them.
Yeah, well, that was that song, Coloured Stone, yeah. Chasing Rainbows.
Deadly. You had me rocking around on the chair in there. Love it. Love it. Yeah.
I'm not going to call you uncle because we're about the same age. Brother, welcome to the show. And nickname Witty. I didn't realise it was Witty. Look, don't want to put you through too much stress, because this is an amazing event where the world is recognised and a World Monuments Watch and one of 25 heritage sites, which is KBH, so important for the history of Australia and your history. and what it means to you. Can I ask then what this means to you, Michael?
Look, it means it means that it's a chance to let the rest of the world know about a pain that we've lived in silence most of our life about, and it's about a place of total genocide, as in to what they did to us as children, and us as children couldn't understand why. Ask the question, why? Why doesn't anybody love us anymore? Why did the people let this happen to us? Mm. And this was one of the things. It's just a small part of this trauma that's been across this land from the day that boat sailed through the cove. Mm. And we at this moment, with the world and yourself right here on this radio now, thousands of kilometres across there having a chat at me and with me, it's just an amazing thing that is allowing it. But in that, I need to explain, I'm healing. Whenever I'm talking to you, brother, whenever I talk to anybody about this, I realise now that I'm healing, because talking about it helps me hold that pain in a place where it doesn't cause me a trauma reaction of anger, and allows me to be able to be a better father for my family.
Michael, thank you for that. And I've probably overstepped the mark here. I should ask, where you're from, who your mob is, because that's what we do, us First Nation people. The first thing we do, who's your mob, where you come from? Can you just explain to me and Jackie who your mob is?
I've learned how to go. For a lot of years, my old uncle was called us Whalewan, but we're Wongabong people. I'm from probably 500 kilometres west of Sydney. Wongabong people, we're the protectors of the black duck. I've been told now, and I know by our language is a Nyingpa language, and just on that, the word witty that you just called me, that was the name that was given to me after I got back and they introduced me to my father for the first time.
Oh.
His name was Jimmy too, James too. So, that's where I'm from. I'm from that. I was taken away from that land. One of seven children that mum lost. Well, not lost. They were taken.
Wow. Michael, I've been calling you Michael, and your proper name and your official name to a lot of non-Aboriginal people is Uncle James Michael Witty Walsh.
Or number 36.
Now, you said number 36. Do you want to explain what that means to our listeners, please?
Well, when we went through that gate of that place for the first time, of course it's the first time, we go through the gate, and once we got in there, they stripped us of everything. Of our hair, our clothes, our shoes, and made us watch them burn them. And then I had a brother with me who's 2 years older than me. They then gave us clothes and told us we're no longer to use our names anymore. We're not to be known by my brother Barry and myself, Michael. We are now to be known as he was number 17 and I was number 36. So that was one of the things that they implanted on us and said to us, if you're caught using your names, you will be punished. And by crikey, we were punished if we accidentally used their names. But one of the things I just sort of had to that is that the 36 number now is our power of that. We wouldn't use that in there on each other. We use nicknames. We had camel, pigeon toes, donkey, bear. And me and my brother, we were called salt and pepper. Because my brother, he had darker black skin than me, beautiful black, and I was fair, so we were salt and pepper. So, that was the way that we beat that. The number system.
Good. My guest on the show, Mudich Mag, today is Uncle James Michael, otherwise known as Mitty. Uncle James Michael Witty Walsh, number 36. And we're talking about the Kinchula Boys Home that has now been recognised as a World Monument Watch, one of 25 heritage sites. So, again, I don't want to put you on the spot, and you do say, though, that whenever you talk about the experience, you feel better for it and it's healing. So what other experiences did you have in the Kinchula Boys Home that you'd like to share with our listeners here on Mudich Mag?
Look, it was a place of... it was evil. There's no other way of describing it. We call it, when we went through there, we walked through the gates of hell. And that little boy stayed at the fence. He didn't go in.
Yep.
So we don't mind me. This is a combination of sadness and happiness too.
Good.
Because we were never allowed to have anybody be kind to us. And this is what you're doing now. You're being kind.
Yep. Yep.
We get upset by that, and it's beautiful, but it's a fact. In the place, that's what happened to us. We were starved. We were flogged. We were abused sexually, non-sexually, tied up to trees. I didn't get there. Chucked in the swimming pool at, whatever helly hours in the morning with all your clothes on, whatever. Dogs sealed onto us. That was it. It was one of those things that I never ever wanted to know about and talk about again. But the fact about my life is the way that I don't call it brainwashing, the way that they reprogrammed their brains into a trauma world didn't allow me to be a good father or in any sense. But I protected my children.
Good on you.
I protected them.
Good on you. Look, thank you so much for being on Mortgage Mag. The Prime Minister, who just recently contracted COVID, and that's probably a good job, but listen, he said to us recently, we've got to seek forgiveness. What is your thoughts about the Prime Minister saying we should forgive the government what they did to us?
Jim, I'm going to say this in a sentence here so that the world can understand a better picture about what's happening here right now. I'll come to that forgiveness, but before I get there, I just want to identify the Kitchener Boys' own site to us, as in what it is. You have the Opera House. It's an icon to the non-Indigenous people of the world that come there. They see all the plays and stories told in there. You've got the Harbour Bridge, which is an icon to the non-Indigenous people. It connects the North Sydney to the mainlands. Well, this site that we're talking about, the museum, that is going to reconnect us to our communities and to our truth-telling about the land and the world and the things that happen to us. So that's an icon to us. That is something that will be very beautiful, right? Now, when we talk about the man that says that they're sorry for whatever they've done and apologise for all of them and want forgiveness, is one of the things they best remember that is that they, all the time, this is these words they'll come out with, and they want to heal communities. And I'll say this clearly, they can't heal communities. Not while ever they're taking children away from their families. You take a child from a family, you make the family disrupted and unhappy in the community. The child goes away and comes back differently because I know this because it happened to me. And we don't speak the same. We don't belong there anymore in that sense of dynamics. So the community becomes disrupted. If they really want to do and have forgiveness, spend more resources to make that family a better family. Not the perfect parent. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, I believe strongly. But build the family structure in a way that the family is happy. If family is happy, communities become happy. Mm-hmm. And everything else will go along the line that way.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Look, congratulations to the Kinchler Boys Home and the survivors, as this is now being a world monument watch. Thank you so much, brother, for sharing some of the pain, and it's quite obvious that there's still a lot of pain there, so thank you for sharing to our listeners. And on behalf of the Noongar people of Western Australia, we want to pay respects to your people and those people that have suffered at the Kinchler Boys Home, and acknowledge that it's now going to be a truth-telling and healing centre. So thank you for being brave and coming on the show, and I expect to catch up with you some other time. We've known each other for a long time, James Michael James Whitty, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, before you go, Jim, I just want to point out one little thing that's good to notice. In 2017, on the 11th of October, I was down at the Government House as a guest. And then on the 2017, on the 27th of October, they made what I'm about to say official and legal. But they gave me on the 11th a piece of paper. and it was a language bill. In the language bill, it told me I was now allowed to own and speak my language. That was 2017. People think this stuff was out there forever. It hasn't been out there forever. This truth about what's happening to this land and our people is needs to be told. Those missions were concentration camps because when they were put in there, they couldn't eat their own food anymore. They couldn't talk their own language anymore. So what is it? It's not a mission. It's a concentration camp. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for being on the show. Much appreciated. Thank you for your bravery. This is Moody Schmag.
Can't wait to give you a big hug.
Hang on, brother. Thank you so much for being on the show. Well, shall we go to a song? No, let's talk some more here. So that was a brave Michael. I call him Michael. It's officially James. James Michael Woody Walsh, number 36. Wow. And, you know, there's a lot more that he could have said, a lot more that he should have said about numbers. And perhaps he didn't have the strength to talk more about numbers because you could tell there, Jackie, he got quite emotional there. If you'd like to make a comment, 0405-921-921, 0405-921-921. If you haven't heard this before, we've talked about some gut-wrenching stuff, but being given a number, stripped of your clothes, hair and everything, and never to repeat your name again, that's what happened to some of these institutions. And we're talking about the notorious former Kinchula Boys Home as now being a national site of truth-telling and healing and being recognised in the 2022 World Health Monuments Watch. And what's the significance of that? Every year, every 2 years, I think it is, 25 heritage sites of worldwide significance whose preservation is urgent and vital to the communities surrounding them. So that's the significance. You're hearing it here for the first time on Moody Schmag 92.1.